Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. We have traveled the worlds specifically just to get to this podcast. That's how important it is to us. And you are listening to Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you what games to pass on to your friends and what games to simply pass on by. And this week we've got a debut episode of a brand new game from Obsidian. You might have heard of them.
Makers
of Pillars of Eternity, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Fallout New Vegas, Alpha Protocol, KOTOR 2, that's Knights of the Old Republic 2, have returned with The Outer Worlds.
I like definitely Alpha Protocol.
No, definitely not Outer Wilds, which I wrote for the regular price, but The Outer Worlds. Alpha Protocol was good. It was
flawed, but it was good. Yeah. I like it.
Game needed another 3 or 4 months for some polish and stuff, but Sega wasn't about that.
Sega.
But The Outer Worlds doesn't have that problem. This game is normally priced $59.99. It is on the Epic Game Store. It is on the Microsoft Game Store. No love for Steam at the moment. Sorry, all you Steam people out there. It's also available on Xbox, obviously, PlayStation 4, and is coming to the Nintendo Switch in 2020. That'd be a very interesting port.
It'd be a good port.
Yeah, but it... I don't know. I saw that Witcher 3 port on the Switch, and it's a little rough. So
I mean, as expected, I guess. But
yeah, I it's running, so I mean, I can't.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So Xbox Play Anywhere, it does. Your save does transfer from if you are using the Xbox Game Pass on PC and on console, or if you're like us and have Ultimate, you can go from one or the other with Xbox Cross Save. Crossplay is not really applicable. Because this game doesn't have multiplayer. DLC, there's no DLC currently, but they have announced that there will be DLC for this game in the future, but we don't know what it is. 1,000-point difficulty. I would rank it a 6 out of 10. I've looked at the achievements, and based on what I've already played, you're going to be playing this game for a long time if you want to get all the achievements, but nothing in it is overly difficult. It's just more of a time thing. So you're probably looking anywhere from 60 to 80 hours to do all of that. It does have Xbox One X enhancements. It runs at 4K, 30 frames a second on the X, but it also has enhanced textures utilizing that extra 4 gigs of RAM on that X console. And this is an FPS RPG in the wake, is that the word I'm looking of? Likened to, I guess. Fallout New Vegas style.
Oh, it is. All Fallout New Vegas.
And with that, let's talk about
Fallout New Vegas. All right. Wait, what? I mean,
in some ways, it is Fallout New Vegas, too.
it is definitely in a era of spiritual successors, a la Mighty No. 9s and
Oceanhorn.
Yeah. Sure. This is... Like, I mean, I was kind of over them for a while just because, like, you'd see them on Kickstarter most of the time. And it's like, hey, don't you want to play that old game you used to play again? And you're like, yeah. Then you play Banjo-Yazooie or whatever the heck that game was.
Ukulele.
You know, Ukulele, thank you.
That's on Game Pass.
Yeah, let's hope we don't randomize that. And you're like, I guess I didn't really want more of that game, or at least not in this way. I have the opposite opinion on this one. This is a well done spiritual successor of Fallout New Vegas. It's like if they gave them time to make it what it could have been.
Yeah, for sure. I think Obsidian had a rough couple. I don't want to say couple games because unfortunately, like, I have played Pillars of Eternity. That's one of their better games for sure. But I really started with KOTOR 2, which on the PC was a buggy mess. Same thing with Alpha Protocol and Fallout New Vegas. I played Fallout New Vegas and I had one of the infamous door glitches to where the game loaded me into a door and then autosaved.
Okay, so, all right.
Couldn't really do much, and I never picked up that game again. So, but what's cool about this game so far? I'm with you in that I was interested in this game and as it was coming out, but at the same time I was sort of hesitant of just like, do I really want to play like a Fallout game? Like, and it's probably not fair to keep calling this a Fallout game, but Fallout 3, I think, is sort of was the infliction point of just like everybody sort of got on board with the idea of like a first person RPG that had guns and stuff in it, because you didn't really have that before that. But then I played Fallout 4, which was not made by Obsidian, and I was just kind of like, all right, I'm good. Like, I don't need more of this. But then the Outer Worlds just looked interesting. The art style looked different. The locations looked different enough. And a lot of the stuff that I had issues with in terms of this genre, they've sort of ironed out in the Outer Worlds. And it's all the little stuff that goes a long way for me. The number one thing that I absolutely love is like, so this is very much an RPG in that you are going through different locations and you are rummaging through things and you're finding ammo and you're finding pieces. But when it comes to containers and stuff, they just automatically open. I don't have to press a button to open them. Like,
yes, that is, I didn't realize how genius that was. Yeah,
right. It just I want to open it. Like, so why do I have to press a button to open it and then go? It's those little things like that. And then they took it one step further of being like, okay, so I open this container, or the container opens for me, whatever, and it's got a piece of armor in it that's obviously lower than what I'm going to be using. I can just press the left stick right there and break it down. Don't got to go into a menu, don't got to go into anything. So the sort of like nuance and the I don't want to call it the boring, but the just sort of like super repetitive nature of this type of game, those little things go a long freaking way to making the experience feel much more modern, even though I think a lot of this game is still sort of stuck in some old what's the word I'm looking for?
Habits, maybe?
Yeah, old design, but yeah.
Which is, I'm honestly okay with. Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of didn't, like, all those little things kind of added up to an overall package where I kind of forgot about how great the little things were, actually, because I was immediately hooked on the art style and dialogue, because for a long time, these games, these style of games, they really relied on the idea of, do you see that place over there? You can go there.
Right.
And look at the draw distance. And that's it. And it's like, okay, but what's in between there? And with this game, like, it really feels like they put a lot of work into the writing of it. And that's the first thing that caught me, because it's very, for me, it's very funny without trying to make you laugh out loud. So it's not like it's almost like watching like a funny TV show where you're just chuckling all the way through without any like real belly laughs. And like, even though a few might get you. So like, I absolutely love the writing. I love the setting as well. It's the idea of like the entire, like almost the entire universe is just ravaged by this idea of corporate loyalty and like just corporations have taken over. And it's just like, and it's so on the nose and it leans so hard into it. It just makes for a fun idea of like what happens if humans just let themselves go into this corporate environment, this corporate world.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
In a way, the DMC couldn't do it, by the way. Devil May Cry.
That's a weird callback. But I guess I agree. Question mark? Maybe.
That whole game was about corporate, were you fighting Pepsi at some point? Some idea of Pepsi?
Something like that, yeah.
Just not loving it at all.
But I know, I agree. Like, definitely the... I think the writing is good, but I don't know if I've... My struggles with this game are that I can't really play it for more than, 3 to 4 hours at a time, which sounds crazy, right? Obviously you shouldn't play anything for 3 to 4 hours. But so what I found myself with this game when it comes to the writing, I enjoy it a lot at first, but then everything, literally everything wants to be a smartass, and that's fine. But after about 3 or 4 hours, I was just kind of done with that. And I was like, I need to put this down and sort of take a break.
I didn't get that feeling at all. I feel like the overall tone is like nose up in the air, but I feel like a lot of the characters are pretty different. I don't want to spoil any of the quest lines, but there's one character on the Groundbreaker, and her quest line is essentially when you first meet her, she seems like a real hard ass or whatever, and it's like, you think she's like a real straight shooter, and then the last part of that quest is like goofy nonsense. And you're like, where did this even come from? And to the point where one of your crewmates, the vicar, who's pretty kind of stone face, even he chimes in when she says oh, this chick is crazy, she's literally insane. And it's like and it's like the characters feel way more alive than usual for me.
They're very personable. You definitely make relationships and you remember people, which is more than you can say for almost any other RPG of this kind. But I don't know, maybe it was just mindset at the time. I needed to take a break from the game, and then I was sort of afraid I wasn't going to go back. But when I did go back, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, okay, I think I just needed to sort of wipe away the humor of my life for a couple hours. And sort of, yeah. So, but no, yeah, the writing is definitely very strong. And it's also strong in that, this game does have side quests, but none of them really feel like side quests. And to me, that's extremely important because... As someone who played Skyrim recently, don't ask why, but as someone who played Skyrim recently, the amount of just go here, do this thing.
Yeah, right. Right.
And you remember those quests, but I don't think people, myself included, remember just how many of those there are and how many have absolutely no context of why you should go there. And this game always gives you a reason to go somewhere, and sometimes it's big and sometimes it's small, but always the dialogue and the exposition that you're going to get during that quest is always worth it. Exactly. And that's a huge thing for me in a game like this, because I tend to start doing some side quests and then I just end up mainlining the game. So I'm like, all right, I'm done with this side stuff because it doesn't offer anything contextual and I'm not getting anything out of it, type of thing.
It really helps when the side quests bring you to location and have you do things.
Yeah.
And while you're doing those things, more importantly, it's like you're finding items or information, rather, that help you in other quest missions. I don't know if it, so if you go to place A to get to kill a marauder, for example, and you hack into a terminal, you might get information for a different quest. And you definitely didn't expect that to happen. And that keeps the game flowing. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you moving. Like the game flows extremely well for one of these games that you usually just kind of get lost in doing empty side missions.
Right. Well, and I think that's a testament to just how not open the game is, if that makes sense, where this is not one big open world. There are different planets and different locations that you're going to, and they're all handcrafted. So they're not like, I don't want to painted as like, well, they all look drastically different, etc. Like, that's not the case, but they're all not massive. And so basically on like the, I went to Monarch, and on that, I sort of like, I was doing a main quest and I sort of stumbled across something else. I ended up basically just like doing a whole 360 of that place. Right. And when it came time to start turning in quests, I had already finished some of them, kind of thing. And so it wasn't just as simple as just like, oh, I already finished this quest, give me my reward. The dialogue tree actually changes depending on what you've already done and what you haven't done. And that's extremely impressive just because it accounts for so many different types of that's what I'm looking for, and so many different ways that things can break down, so many different avenues it can go.
It even shows itself when you're speaking to other NPCs. Like, right. I noticed, is it Ellie? No, I forgot her name. I forgot the girl's name, like Parsival or something, Parvel or something, one of your crewmates. If she's not in your party during certain conversations, she just won't chime in. But if she is, like, I'm a Vicar, like, Vicar will just be like, oh, Parsival, like, I haven't seen you in a long time. It's like, oh, you guys have rapport? Like, I didn't. Right. It's like they plan for having someone in your party or someone not in your party to keep it just, again, just kind of very personable. Like, throughout the game feels way more alive than most of these type games have in the past.
Yeah, and the companion quests go with that. And it gave me a lot of Mass Effect vibes of just that sort of relationship that you can build. Like, you can't have, like, a love story or anything like that, but like you said, it just adds to that sort of that picture that they're painting of just everything that can happen and go on, kind of thing. And I will say that I'm doing the Mass Effect thing, which is bad in that I'm sort of just sticking to two party members and I'm not getting anyone else out, because I'm just like, well, I've already like invested time and, you know, and equipment and stuff into this person. I don't want to have to do it again, sort of thing. Even though that's probably not that big of a deal, because you find enough stuff in the world that you could easily throw somebody some armor and stuff like that. But that's something I need to fix on my own, I guess.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen until you start finding, until you start looting more and more, or buying more and more, right, items and stuff. You can just kind of switch characters in and out. Because some quests, I realized you want different party members in. Because right from the beginning, like, when you create your character, this is like pretty fun RPG mechanics, where it's like you're building a character from scratch. And like, if you build a dumb character, if you build a brute, you're definitely going to want your engineer or your medic and your squad with you. You don't want two brutes with you, because then if you get to a certain scenario, you might want to try diplomacy, and it's just not going to work. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work. So you definitely kind of want to, I don't know, like, the way I'm playing is like, since I'm going diplomacy, like, I definitely want to try to mix like my engineers in there, just so that my hacking skills go up a little bit. So if I get to one of those situations, because one of the, my favorite thing about these type of games by far is the fact that you can handle problems in different ways. You don't have to just go there, shoot this, loot it, and come back. You can, like, if something happens, like during a mission, you can handle it with diplomacy. You try to intimidate them. You can try to be friends with them. You can just let them go. Like, you can even stealth your way through missions. Like, it's however you want to do it.
Yeah, and so I guess we can sort of start getting the gameplay of it. So I'm sort of doing the same thing. Like, I made sure that my persuasion and hacking are like top priority, because nothing drives me more crazy and then going up to something and being like, oh, you can't do this. And I'm just like, you know what? I want to know what's in that room. I want to know what's in this computer. So how can I get that done? So I'm definitely doing that. And yeah, there's so many instances to where, especially with persuasion, that I'm able to sort of maneuver my way through a mission or a dialogue tree of just being like, hey, like, you should go talk to this person and get this thing. And sometimes I have the persuasion of just like, how about I don't, kind of thing.
Right.
And he's just like, okay, fine. Like, it's just, so it's neat that you can do stuff like that. But what I will say is, I don't, I haven't seen much of a difference between like lying and persuading, other than you're telling a lie kind of thing. I haven't really ran into an issue where lying has sort of backfired on me, which is kind of, I don't want to say disappointing, but kind of strange. Like I half expected that a lie to come back and bite me in the butt, but it hasn't happened. And I don't, maybe I'm crazy for expecting that, but
when the few times the NPC has called me out on a lie, it didn't change the tree at all.
Right.
It was the same as the persuasion or intimidation.
Right. Well, and I've had intimidation go south a couple times of just being like, I try to intimidate them, and then they're like, okay, no, we're going to kill you instead kind of thing.
Okay. I don't do intimidation too much.
Yeah, I usually only do it if for whatever reason that's the only option, or I don't have the ability. There's like, maybe it's persuasion. Every once in a while I run into a persuasion that's like ridiculously high and I just don't have it. And so then I have intimidate or lie, and I'll do that if it's the last thing. But I kind of like, well, it's cool that they sort of let you out of the the flow of things, and you can sort of do it your own way. I was kind of expecting those options to have a little bit more repercussion.
Right.
That feels kind of dated to me in some ways, but it is what it is sort of thing. But so actually when it comes down to actual like gameplay, so I'm basically trying to play it as a long weapon, I think they call it. A lot of rifles, a lot of long distance sneaking and stuff like that, and setting up a shot before I go in for the kill type of thing. I haven't dropped a single point into melee. I don't know if I've ever even actually used a melee weapon, so I don't even know how they play. But
all right, so yeah, I use melee weapons, or melee weapons as you call them.
What
I call melee?
Or melee? Is that, is there, is one
it,
right?
Is it guacamelee or guacamelee?
It's guacamelee.
Okay. So,
but then it's Super Smash Brothers melee.
Okay. Is that accurate? I use the melee weapons. I never have like a scientific weapon because they just have cool effects. But other than that, I'm definitely using like a lot of rifles. And a large part of that also is because I think for the first time in one of these games, the shooting doesn't feel absolutely terrible.
No, yeah, for sure.
The combat's not amazing, bad.
But yeah, but it's definitely, it's doable. So instead of like a VAT style system, they just have a straight up slowdown. And that helps tremendously, especially at long distances, of lining up that shot. So
yeah, and the VATs, the slowdown system turns into a VAT like system later on, which is kind of cool, because it's like it's just like Fallout. You can kind of cripple someone or
right,
like whatever. So it's like, or dizzy them or blind them, which is great for like the bigger monsters or creatures. But yeah, like I was playing Greedfall before this. Is it called Greedfall?
Yeah, Greedfall.
And as much as I adore that game for what it can, for all its technical lackings, because I mean, like, it's a good game, but it's clearly an independent game made by Focus.
Right.
Like the combat is just like, it's janky as heck. So it's like, this is a lot smoother. I feel like they put some thought into it, and it's like, it feels good to run around shooting things. Like, it's just rare in these type of games.
And it's what I've found myself, so I'm trying to not have a spoiler. That's why I'm trying to decide if it's a spoiler or not. So there's some guns that you can get throughout the game. I'm going to spoil one just because it's one you get early on. But there's some pretty fun science weapons as well as the melee weapons. Like there's a shrink ray.
And yeah.
And I got tired of using that, so I gave it to one of my companions. And so now during the fight, she ends up shrinking a lot of the people. And it's funny because it's got that like typical shrink ray of like super high pitched voice. And then they start running around. They look funny. So there's cool stuff like that. There's I've got like two or three of those style of weapons, and they're always kind of fun and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Fun and just different to use. And they all are drastically different in that they all do something that sort of changes the flow of the battle, which is important. That's when you can kind of have the most fun. And What I will say is the one thing, and I don't, maybe I'm crazy, but are you playing with a controller or are you playing with a mouse and keyboard?
So I started playing a mouse and keyboard because I thought, because I believe like right off the bat, like, all right, it's going to be one of, I'm going shooter in these games. It's going to be a rough going. But one night I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. Let me see how it feels. Absolutely fine. Like, I mean, there's no aim assist, obviously, because it's a piece, because it's on PC, but
right.
It's smooth enough to where it's like, I'm not really missing shots, and that slowdown, the slowdown definitely helps.
So did you know if you hold the Y button, it'll bring up all your weapons?
Yes.
I didn't know that for about 5 hours. So that was driving me up a freaking wall. And I don't know if the game told me and I just missed it.
I did it by accident. It doesn't tell you.
Yeah. The text of this game is way too small. I'm also just like part blind, so that's whatever. But so if I missed it, it's definitely possible. But that was a game changer for me. Like that completely.
That was the game changer.
That completely because I kept if you've got four weapons, you've got to
cycle all the way through.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm just gonna carry two weapons. Oh, I gotta beat myself now. I'm gonna carry two weapons and that's it because I'm tired of doing this kind of thing. And then I was like, there's got to be a better way. So like I go into the options and then I'm just like, there's nothing here. I was like, what if I just hold the button? And lo and behold, it worked. But no, so that's fun because you can use your science weapons and sort of do like fun combos and stuff like that. It keeps the combat fresh.
It adds to the overall feel of the game because it really, the Fallout series so far has people who played that those games, we know the aesthetic of it, the feel of it, like the old 1940s, that's what they're going for. And this Outer Worlds takes that to a different level, which I appreciate. I feel like Fallout has reached a ceiling almost in terms of what they're allowed to do in that type of world, whereas The Outer Worlds is basically a science fiction serial that they wear on their sleeve, and they love that idea so much that you're getting mad scientist things. Like when there's a quest, when one quest just goes wacky, and the lady just goes, I don't want to spoil the quest, but she says it could be this, and you're like, it's insane. It's not going to be that, is it?
Right.
Like, is it really? Wait. Are those really in the game? Like, you don't know. And what's keeping me one of the things that keeps me playing this game is that I really don't know where it's going to end up. And the game gives you enough as a player to kind of take it to where, like, it's like when that, I think it was Fallout, was it New Vegas where you can end the final boss battle by dialogue only?
I think it was.
I could see like an ending in something in that vein, or way crazier, or way more quirkier than that, rather. Because like part of what keeps me playing is like I don't know what's going to happen next. Really, I don't know what kind of quest I'm going to get next. I don't know who I'm going to meet next. Like they do a very, very good job of just making this weird world feel alive.
Yeah, and the one thing that really helps me out in that vein is that because you go to different planets, like you can really almost tackle it per planet basis, and that's sort of how I'm playing it. And I'm sort of playing a planet, seeing everything it has to offer, doing the side quest, doing the main quests, and then I sort of take a break for, you know, that's when I know I can like turn it off for a while, and then next time I turn it on, I'm going to be able to go to somewhere new and do something different. And that goes a long way for me. And that's one reason why, you know, and we keep talking about Fallout because this is a New Vegas team, but New Vegas they tried everything they could to make a post-apocalyptic world feel different, even though that's really hard to do because it's post-apocalyptic. But with them not having that constraint, it changes a lot. It just, like you said, it just changes the abilities that they have and the stuff that they can do. And it's basically able to give this team the freedom that they wanted to just sort of go crazy with it. And you're seeing that. You're seeing that in the main storyline. You're seeing that in the locations, and you're seeing that in the writing. So it's really strong. But so I do have to get into my biggest criticism of the game.
I was about to ask you, what don't you like at this point?
The scaling of this game is very strange. the difficulty scaling is along with the level scaling. So I started this game on hard. I believe you did as well.
Is that correct? Yeah, I dropped it down.
Yeah, I'm not doing the supernova where you got to eat and stuff like that. I was just doing the hard difficulty. And man, this game at first beats you up. Because they only start you with a basic weapon. And I'm not joking when you have to empty like 6 clips into a dude to the first martyrs that you come across to kill him. As soon as I found an assault rifle, which was fairly quickly, probably about an hour in, I was a lot better off. But that first hour, I was like, what have I gotten myself into kind of thing.
Well, I got hit in the face. So I got the Monarch. Like those creatures of the Monarch.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the game tells you that too. It's like when you get there, the mad scientist guy who saves you in the beginning, like he kind of tells you like, this is where you're going and it's going to be crazy. You may not survive. And I'm like, oh, it was one of those things. And it's like, no, like the first big creature just stomped me. I'm like, oh, okay. We need to get some better weapons and stuff before we continue on this hard mode nonsense.
So yeah, I haven't looked into this. I don't know if the information's out there, but it definitely seems that the loot that you pick up is very dependent on your level. So you will never get loot that is one or two. Usually it's lower, but you'll never pick up loot that's higher than your level. That's only one or two levels. And I sort of noticed that as I got into the later levels in that. So there's basically kind of like a tier of weapons. Like you don't unlock a certain weapons until you get to a certain level because their base level is just too high kind of thing. And as soon as I tinkered with my weapon on hard mode, I was doing astronomically better. But the problem is that sometimes you just don't get to a workbench and you've gained a couple levels and all of a sudden the game gets really freaking hard. And so, like, it just seems that the way it's scaling is just very strange. And luckily, you can change it mid-fight, the difficulty mid-fight, even if you wanted to. So, there was a time where I was just on Monarch, too. I was just getting worked. You come across sort of these large creatures. Yeah.
Giant praying mantises or something?
Something like that. And
fire-breathing?
They will mess you up. And the same thing is if... Basically, I was running into an issue. If I ever ran into more than 3 enemies at once, no matter what they were, I was just getting hit from too many angles, and I was dying before I could even hit I don't remember what they call the elixirs or whatever in this game, but your health potion, basically. Because you can't just hit it, and it gives it to you. Like, he's got to go through the animation before you start actually getting health. I couldn't even, like... I would get hit, and by the time I'd even notice it, I'd press the button, and I'd die. And... I was like, well, like, am I doing something wrong here? Like, am I not finding the right armor, et cetera? So I dropped it to normal, and the difference between normal and hard is like ridiculous. And there's actually a mode even under normal that's just called story. I don't even know how that mode would work because on normal mode, I'm killing stuff extremely easy. But then on hard mode, I'm literally taking, they take about 3 to 4 times the amount of damage, and I take more damage as well. So I'm actually playing the game. And I'm having to sort of switch back and forth. So as soon as I go to a workbench and I tinker everything up, I throw it on hard and I'm fine. But then eventually it's like I hit that wall as soon as I gain a couple levels and I have to throw it back down to normal because I'm just getting destroyed. So
I'm keeping on normal at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't find a lot of joy in a hard mode that simply says they get more HP, you get less. And it's like,
it doesn't really change it. But I guess what drives me crazy is that I actually enjoy the fights taking a little longer.
I do too. I do. But
I don't enjoy the fact that I can just die suddenly. So it's I want them to be able to take more damage because I think that's more fun and it makes the fights a little more dynamic. But I wish it didn't come with the penalty of me taking like 75% more damage. I wish there was a mode in between that kind of thing. But yeah.
I mean, because I would prefer them to be just make them smarter as well. I mean, like, sure. Destiny does a decent job of that, where it's like, the old Bungie Halo games, where it's like, if you play on a lower difficulty, they'll stand out there in the open for you, get hit in the head all day, and then if you turn it up, sure, they hit harder, but they also do way more dodging, more ducking, more hiding behind things. It's
The Division 2 is probably one of the best examples of that, of where the harder difficulties, the AI actually acts completely different.
Right.
Yeah, and that is not the case here. That is not the case at all. It's the exact same enemies. They do the exact same thing. It's just you get hit harder, they hit harder.
That would be my only main complaint, really, is that there are a lot of things in the game, there's a lot of minutiae that they don't really go into. And that's not to say you need a tutorial mode or anything like that. It's just like a matter of when a game is this complex, you kind of need to go into it a little bit. It's not like you're playing Call of Duty and you're like, because you already know how to play that game. So there's so many different things you could do here where you sh really they should have kind of explained some things here and there better. Because other than that, you're kind of learning as you go, which is fine. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's just a matter of I would have been way more prepared for something like Monarch if it told me, this is how your weapons level. You'll never find something greater than this. Make sure you tinker this. When you tinker this, this does that. Because otherwise, you're just kind of like mixing and matching play styles until you get it right.
Yeah, there's a lot of small things like that that you don't quite pick up on. And I have the feeling that that complaint seems to be sort of widespread, and I'm hoping that they'll sort of rectify that with an update. And they're the type of team that would do that, so one can hope. And I think really the other thing I have issues with is I'm not a huge fan of the later skills and the skill tree. I don't think they drastically change anything. In my opinion, a good skill tree that has skills and different leveling changes how I play the game. Like if I specialize in something, it can change what I do. And there isn't a lot of that. Like a lot of it's basically like get more health or carry more stuff and just very basic stuff like that. There's nothing that drastically changes anything. So as you're leveling up, like you're not really getting more powerful, if that makes sense. The only thing that's going up is like you're increasing the numbers on your guns and you're increasing, your armor rating, and so that way you just don't die as fast. And that's kind of, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's just sort of boring.
No, I agree. It's not just this game. It's not just this genre. I would say any single game, by the end of it, you should feel godlike, and you just don't. In the, I mean, I'm not the end, but I feel like you won't in a game like this, and or maybe it will happen in a different way, but it definitely won't come from the skill tree. The skill tree for your companions are even more bare.
Yeah, those are like the literally just like stronger
That's
cool
it.
cooldowns. And I'm just like, okay, like kind of chance to have instant cooldown if this happens. And it's just like, okay, like that doesn't really
You can't really control your companions. All like, I mean, I would love a sort of macro system where each companion can behave differently, but I don't feel like that's in the game unless I missed it.
Yeah, I don't believe it is.
Because like my companions were kind of, that's the thing. Like until you give your companions useful gear, they are useless. And I know that sounds kind of obvious, but at the same time, like you'd want, until you get to that point, you'd want them to be a little more useful in combat, and really not until you give them something to be useful with.
Yeah, the first companion I got, and she's been in my party kind of the whole time simply because her sort of ability is she's got a stun. So that was essential when it came to hard mode because it's like, I just need this dude off my back for a second, stun this guy. And doesn't do a ton of damage, but it stuns him long enough that I can reload my weapon or I can, whatever. But yeah, the rest of the companions, yeah, they basically only, as far as I know, they only have one move each. And yeah, so they all kind of specialize in something, and you can give them a perk to sort of when they're in your party. Therefore, you can get 10 to medical or 10 to hacking or 10 to, whatever their specialty is, kind of thing. So that stuff is just kind of there. It's not deep in any way, which again, it's not a problem. It's just sort of boring.
It's a disappointment when there's so many other
aspects. Everything else is so good, yeah.
Yeah, so many of the other aspects of this game kind of go above and beyond. So when you get something, so you encounter something tacked on, well, something a bit more basic, I'd say, it's like, oh, that's, I was hoping for more here.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So if the skill tree is what keeps you in these games, you know, of learning new abilities, this isn't going to be it for you. So, but I think it's fair to say that we like this game.
It's my favorite new Fallout.
Yeah, basically. And I think we can say this is one you should pass on to your friends.
Absolutely.
And not pass on by. One day we'll get that right, but today's not going to be that day. So, but no, like, and so what's interesting is that Microsoft actually purchased Obsidian earlier this year. So that's they are now a Microsoft studio. This game was already in development before that happened. So
this is Alaska game. Buy where you can, guys.
Wow. I don't.
When you get bought by Microsoft, you make garbage.
I don't agree with that, but.
Absolutely. Guys.
We played Gears 5 in their own.
That's, we know I don't love Gears 5.
Yeah, but Gears 5 is a good game.
It's a quality game.
I like some Microsoft games. I don't like all of them, but we'll see. But that's it for not The Outer Wilds, The Outer Worlds on Xbox Game Pass. You should play that game if you have Xbox Game Pass. It's on both. It's very, very good. So
The Outer Wilds?
Well, both of them. Actually, I like Outer Wilds a lot too. That's a game we might have to try one time, just because that's a very different game. Maybe if it comes up on the random, but I've already played it, so it's kind of. I try not to do that. I try to, you know, stick with stuff that neither one of us has played, but every once in a while it happens. So, but before we move on, I guess not really move on. Before we close the show, so we've already got the next game picked out, which is After Party, which it comes from. I already forgot the name of the studio.
That's already out on some platforms, correct?
It's out.
It's out. Okay.
Yeah. So it debuted on Game Pass today, actually. Night School Studios. So the makers of Oxenfree, which is also on Game Pass. So that game also debuted on Game Pass today. So we're going to play that because I think it's from the numbers that we saw and just from, I think it's exciting when a game debuts on Game Pass. And that's like the French version. And so, yeah, so we're going to do that. And I really liked Oxenfree. I think it's got some issues, but I really enjoyed the art style and the way that game flowed. And what's interesting is that it also is very sort of dialogue tree heavy. So it's actually going to be similar in some ways, but it's kind of all dialogue tree. So it's going to be interesting. But I don't think Basher would have liked Oxenfree based on the.
You don't know that.
Based on the subject matter, but I think that After Party is going to be much more up his alley, so it's going to be interesting. But that's going to be our next game, After Party, and I'm looking forward to that one. It's also not nearly as long as The Outer Worlds, so that's good. Sometimes you need a short game in there, you know? Like, they all can't be 60-hour adventures, so.
I was really not looking forward to that with The Outer Worlds, but it's keeping my attention quite a bit.
Yeah, and from what I'm reading, you can definitely finish the game in under 20 hours. So if you're doing everything, it's closer to 30 or 40. But I always find that strange. Like they say 32, 40. Like, what are you doing for an extra 10 hours? like did you stumble into something?
This game's not that intricate of a path. You can't really lose yourself in these other.
Right.
But okay.
Right. So what you did for 10 hours, I don't know. Maybe played on Supernova mode or whatever. But so yeah, the next game will be After Party. And then after that, I don't know what it's going to be. We're probably going to have to do a spin, but I guess we'll find out on that next episode. But you can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. That's Game Pass or Pass Fans at gmail.com. Gpop. That's what GPOP, you know.
Anyway. I just put that together, actually. Not joking.
Jeez. Wow, that's kind of sad. Send us an email. Let us know what you play, what you want us to play. Maybe we'll do some viewer. If you're, I guess, listener requests,
or maybe we won't. Game,
and maybe there's a game you're just dying for us to play and you want us to experience it, and you can let us know at gpopfans@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on all your podcasting services. But hey, a lot of people listen on Apple Podcasts. That seems to be the one that most people go to. Why not leave us a review? It helps us out. It helps it gets us exposure. And we like exposure. But decent kind, not, you know, non-decent exposure.
So I took my pants off as soon as we started, as you know. So
well, they didn't have to know that.
Well, now they do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We will see you next time with After Party.
Good day, sirs.
And.